Yeah, I'm a squirrel, can I get a nut? What the fuck? All the bitches ask me, machete put it in my butt. I don't front, shit's going down, it's a new show. ADHD, you already know. We're about to bring it hard. Oh shit, it's about to go down in our Patreon. Please donate to the show. It's Friday, you already know. Got Cheech on the keys, Shetty on the mic. Make sure we're giving it to you right. ADH Dizzle for that ass. 2019. There's many topics that we want to talk about today. It's Friday.
Yeah. It's the Friday show where we do whatever we want, like every other show.
Yeah, very true. But we want to talk about something that's very close to our clogged artery.
our clogged arts is really close to there. Mm-hmm. It's the artery that's going to, you know, plug up one day. So basically, got to lose weight for this wedding, right?
Got to shred for the wed.
And when I came back from that tour, I was just eating, drinking, whatever the fuck I wanted. And got up to like 245. I always say 145. 245, which is close to my heaviest. My heaviest was probably 255, maybe 260. Who knows? Closest was now I was up at like 245 around then. Started to just eat a little bit better since I was back. And then I started dabbling with low carb. And I dabbled, and got down to 232, and that's when I weighed in, and that's when I started to do actual low carb for realsies. And I've been doing that for now. It's been 1 week. As of yesterday, I am down to 226. So things are moving. Hey. Things are moving. But now, so the plan right now is with the old fiance there is to get, well, I'm trying to get down to 200 again. 200 is good. Whoa, for me.
And then your wedding's in January next year?
It's in October. It's in like a few months.
Oh, wow. October what?
6. You got my save the date.
I did.
Yeah, but I forgot. Forgot to save it.
Yeah, a key part of that
email. So yeah, doing low carb, which is something I've always liked. It's one that's pretty, it's not too crazy. Like when I tried to do vegan, that one was pretty crazy. That was probably the most intense one I did. Low carb is much better. So, but the other day, me and you went out to eat. I don't even know why. Why did we go? Just because we're fat. Yeah. Okay. And, I think maybe if you're a thin person, maybe you don't understand this. But I told Ernie, I was like, listen, when I eat, I don't just eat to get full. That's not satisfying to me. What's satisfying to me is getting stuffed
in your butt
by guys. No, but I need to get very full to feel satisfied, to feel like I really ate something. Like, there's no just like, oh yeah, that was good. That was good enough. I need to get stuffed.
Where do we go? We went to the new place.
Yes, we went to the Food Mall of America, or what you call it.
There's a food court here by the office. It's pretty lit. It's pretty lit.
We got guisados, tacos.
That's right.
And pizzas.
That's right. We did.
We did. And we were talking about it right then and there. It's like, I could probably get another slice. Yeah.
That's real shit. And then we walked away. I think I got like 3 or 4 tacos and a slice of pizza.
Yes.
I got three tacos and a tamale.
I got 4 tacos and a slice of pizza or something like that.
So basically we had pretty close to the same.
I mean, it was disgusting. good.
Disgustingly good.
And I said to you that I told you that that's the thing. I want to get full. I want to get really full.
Right.
And you said the words that haunt me to this day is that that's the disease. You aren't satisfied with just eating that. So I'm assuming that you know the feeling.
Look at my fucking fat ass, bro. Not only do you know the feeling.
Yeah. I live in
the feeling. I feel the feeling, homie.
Right now. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you... So, is that your goal, too, when you're eating? To get stuffed? Because that is my goal. I don't like it if it's not a little painful.
you know...
Mixed with pain.
There's, It depends. Uh-huh. It really just depends on if I'm wearing depends.
It's like a really let loose or not.
Yeah, yeah. Just let it fly as I'm eating. Just like come. Yeah. No, for the most part, I do enjoy a nice, you know, feeling of being satiated.
Extremely satiated.
Association. I just learned that word yesterday.
Society? No.
So one of the things that it's tough because we're fat asses, mm-hmm. and it is a disease and it is an addiction.
Yes. I 100% agree with that.
We talked about this many times on the show.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, people are going to go, oh, here we go. Another food fucking... But it's serious because honestly, it's something I struggled with my whole life and I didn't really understand what I was doing wrong.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, I mean.
Why did this happen to you?
I don't ask myself that.
You never asked that? I asked myself that when I was young because it's like, why did. Because I have a brother and sister. Mm-hmm. Both of them were thin all their lives. They didn't start maybe gaining weight till after high school.
Right,
to the usual. I started gaining weight in like middle school.
Right.
Why? And I feel like when you're that young, it's not necessarily your choice because you're not really cognizant enough to say, maybe I shouldn't do this.
Sure, sure.
And you don't really know what you're doing. And like, why did it happen to me and not them?
Right.
And then you said a couple other things that were pretty poignant. You asked me,
yeah,
when was the, what is your like early food memories?
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. I remember this.
And I was like, well, honestly, or what's a positive association with food or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, well, if I can think back, the first time thinking about these feelings is probably like maybe family parties. Yep. I would always stuff myself at these family parties, just eating everything, going ham on the ham. Yeah. Uh-huh. And you were like, there you go. Positive associations with being stuffed.
Like you feel like you associate food and stuffing yourself with love. Let it out, Cheech. Just let it out.
Not just that. And then I think about the fact, if there's food in front of me, I will finish it. Like if I go to a restaurant... And I will keep on eating until the plates are empty. That is like...
Well, I think that's a part of growing up poor. Yes. Or maybe like, you know, just saying, hey, you have to eat all the food. Before you go outside, eat everything on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
But that's assuming that your mom made a well-balanced meal.
And that's assuming that you didn't want to eat everything on the plate already.
Like, yeah. No, I get that. And I did ask you those questions. They were very specific. Because I'm going through the same shit where it's just like I'm really trying to get to the root of like my addiction.
What's your earliest positive food memory?
Well, I wouldn't say positive. Or food negative. Memory. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just.
Force fed.
Well, I remember there was times where I would go out to eat and I would go out to eat with my grandpa.
Oh.
My grandpa, but. me and my grandpa were like, but it's not like we go together and go, oh yeah, fat boy time. It's not that it was like the whole family. Oh, right. Okay. And it was kind of like a big deal. Like we'd go to like what's high end, like Sizzlers or like Red Lobster or something. You
know, that's super high end.
Oh yeah. So, you know, depending. Well, Sizzler was a big one though. Sizzler was like the one that we did often. Like regular. Red Lobster was like someone graduated or something. You know? So, we went to, Sizzler pretty often and, you know, my grandpa thought obviously, it's my grandpa from my dad's side. So I was basically the prince of the family because I'm carrying his last name and it's like his name lives on
and
forever.
And extra weight.
Indeed. He wanted to make sure I had extra padding for the winter.
You carry that weight of that name.
Carry the weight of the family. So it was an interesting kind of situation, because, you know, he'd give me the money to pay. So it was like the whole family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he'd give me like, you know, $100 bill. Back then, $100 in the late 80s, early 90s was a lot of money. You know what I mean?
So special treatment.
Special treatment. Mm. And this is actually the first, because I thought about this too. And this is, I'm not going to therapy. This is all like, all this,
your personal therapy.
Is all my, because, you know, Mexicans don't believe in therapy. So it's like, doesn't work. The fucking quacks just want your money. No, I'm just kidding. They're pretty helpful. But one of the first memories I have is us going to Sizzler. We had a really good time. All the free cheese bread you can fucking eat, you know? The cheese bread's so good. Let's go. Now, so I remember eating though so much that it would make my stomach hurt, and it would make my stomach hurt so bad that I had literally after the meal was done, and then we went back to my grandpa's place. He had a big pool, and we'd walk around his pool. Because it was like we'd do laps around it because my stomach hurt so bad after eating so much food that I had to walk I had to walk it off. So, you know, with you being treated like you know, my grandpa would give me $100 bill to feed the family of five.
Your grandpa was probably nice to you.
Oh, he's amazing.
Opposed to your father.
My father hates me. No, I mean, my, you know, whatever. It's just, it is what it is. But that's one of the earliest memories of me, like, overeating. Feeding myself till I was, like, hurting.
That's interesting that you say that, because also what I think about my grandma that died when I was like 6 or 7, that's a pretty damn early memory, is she would take me out to eat. Now this is when I was like in kindergarten and before, she used to go take me out to eat. So that's real early memory.
So here's another, you know, even take it, my grandma from my mom's side used to babysit a lot because my mom went to work and she was going to school. So when she would babysit, my grandma was the one, like, where she wouldn't take me out to eat. She'd say whatever you want to eat, and I'll make it.
Really?
So then, like, my grandma in the morning would make, you know, chorizo and eggs with, you know, tacos or whatever. Uh-huh. But I would say, oh, I want pancakes. She'd make pancakes for me.
Wow.
Yeah, I would say, I want biscuits, and she'd make biscuits for me.
Dang.
And she killed it. Always killed it. Like, her tacos were awesome because she made bomb fresh like flour tortillas, like that was the shit. And we called the taco was like basically a burrito, but it's just a tortilla
filled with stuff.
Yeah, being Mexican is just kind of one of those things where you just say, "Yo, hey, give me a taco," and taco is a taco. I don't know. It's just hard to say.
Yeah, anything, and then you wrap it.
So, yeah. So then she'd make me whatever we want. Like when, like my cousins would all like sleep over at my grandma's place because she had a house and stuff. So like when all my, I guess, all my moms and her sisters wanted to hang out, so they just drop us off over there. And my grandma would literally say, "All right, everybody want it." She goes, "Oh, I want biscuits. Oh, I want
that for everybody.
Everyone, dude. I want fucking pancakes. Dude, I really wish I was like, she would do that fucking shit.
Wow.
She was a saint, dude. God rest her soul.
When did she die? That's the question. When did she die?
She passed in like, I think, 92, 93.
So like 10 or something?
I was maybe a little bit older, maybe 10 or 11.
Okay.
But she passed away and...
that's pretty early. That's pretty late enough where you're going to remember that.
Hell yeah, sure. Of course. I have fond memories of that.
And Grandpa?
Grandpa died also, but he died a little later. I think I was like probably 14.
Okay, so you definitely remember 15. That. Definitely.
Yeah. Oh yeah, my grandpa's dude. I'm pretty sure my grandpa did his fair share of bullshit. But like, he was a fucking saint in my eyes, honestly. And my grandma, she killed it. She would always go to church though. That's one thing I didn't like, because she'd always make us pray. Yeah, we'd roll through, and she went to church. She lived like walking distance from like a church, and she was like involved in the shit. Like, she was involved, like, not like, oh yeah, I go to church, and then you go to church every Sunday, even though that's super fucking committed, or you go to church every fucking major holiday like Easter and whatever, Christmas or whatever. I don't know.
So now let me ask you this. Were there other, so you had a lot of other kids around, right? Not necessarily
cousins, yeah.
Cousins, right? But you had a sister as well, right? Mm-hmm. How old is she?
She's like 3 years younger than me, 4 years younger than me.
Was she heavy too?
She's not. She actually was never really like thin, but she never struggled with her weight like I did.
Okay. Why? So you never asked yourself that. Why? No, why me, no. Not her?
No, because I
didn't. Or why not your cousins? Where are your cousins? Really, what about them?
They're all thin.
They're all thin.
Well, one of my older cousins is pretty heavy now, but she, when growing up, she
growing
was,
up.
Yeah, yeah, she, definitely not.
So you never wondered that? I've wondered
never,
that.
I never wondered it because I never saw myself as that person.
And not even until high school?
In high school, yeah, I saw myself as big for sure, but it wasn't like I was fat like I am now. No, okay. You know what I mean? I'm not fat. Honestly, still, I think right now that I have the ability to move still, because I see some, especially with last episode talk about going to Texas. There's people who are literally winded from walking.
Oh yeah,
like that type of fucking shit where they have a fucking walker.
Oh yeah,
because
or a straight up chair.
Yeah, or a straight up chair, and I've seen that, and it was very common to walk into a restaurant or a store or an event and
hella jealous. Where's my chair?
Like, fucking motherfuckers found a loophole in the system. But for real. So I like, look, there's.
So I know what you're saying. You've never thought of yourself as like fat. You just thought of as a big guy,
big dude, big completely. Dude. Until recently, and then I started getting fat. And I was like, fuck. But not like in, like not where the point where I have to take medication or the point whatever. It's getting there.
Uh-huh.
As you get older, you don't bounce back as fast. But all these yo-yo diets that maybe, you know, you heard us a few years
how
back.
How many have you gone on? When was the first time you dieted then?
That's a great question, because I want to – all right, dieted – and I honestly dieted.
To when you first time you thought, I need to lose weight, or I want to be thinner. I want to lose weight.
Well,
when was the first time?
I was always an active kid.
With that purpose.
I always was an active kid.
Yes.
Right? I just had really shit choices for food.
Yeah.
So I would go play basketball. Same. I would run around. You know what I mean? Play with the fucking kids who were in the neighborhood.
Same.
Always. So it wasn't even a matter. Like, I didn't really, was not even super aware of it to probably high school.
Exactly.
When you're like, fuck, I'm trying to fuck now.
Yeah, and I'm fat.
Yeah, but it's cool because, you know, I'm skinny fat.
Skinny fat.
Because I was still active. I was jogging and I was doing stuff like staying, like for real, like staying active. So I didn't really see it as like a huge problem. Like, I just saw it as like, oh, well, I'm just fucking a little bit bigger than everybody else. And I didn't see myself like, you know how when you have like body dysmorphia?
Oh, I was going to talk about that next. If you could go ahead. Yeah, I'll get to talk about me.
Well, I had that in a way where I don't know if it's body dysmorphia, but what it is like there's a certain thing that guys have that girls don't.
Uh-huh.
It's the opposite. When a girl sees their self,
they see the flaws.
They see like, oh my God, I look so fat. Mm. But when a guy sees it, even if he's a little overweight or not even, he always sees like, you kind of pick your chin up. You're like, oh, what's up, dog? I still got it. I look good.
Okay, this is where you and me differ. So far, I was following you. This is where I differ. Now, the first time, oh, you never answered that, but we'll answer that after this. The first time I dieted was like 18, and I lost a lot of weight. So actually, in high school, it wasn't really that heavy. I was like 180, but I think just because I was younger, I just
Did you hit that growth spurt or no?
No, I was always tall.
You're always tall. Me too.
And it wasn't until the end of high school, so I was like 180, but I think I was just younger, so I looked pretty heavy, I thought. And then, 200. I got to 200, okay? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, shit, I want to lose weight. And then I actually probably got to way above that, 225 maybe, I don't know, out of high school.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I got to lose weight. And I dropped down. So by the time I was in college, I was like 190.
Okay.
And I was pretty thin, but...
You should put a quotation
so this is
college, by the way.
Why? I did it. Fuck you.
College years.
So, okay, listen. I got down to 190. And when in that moment, I used to think, I still look overweight.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I would look at my face. My face looked thinner, but I felt like my body was still fat.
Right.
Okay, now I look back at those pictures and I'm like, holy fuck, I was skinny as fuck.
I wish I was that fat.
Exactly. And I think that's what I'm talking about when I say body dysmorphia, because my whole life I just felt fat, even through all my 20s. And I look back at those pictures, even from that period and then other times I've dieted, I'm like, holy shit, I looked great. I look fucking disgusting now. And it's right. like, even when I was like 210, whatever.
No, you
I
look still disgusting look, then too. Though.
But I looked less disgusting. But that's what
you
I'm
look,
saying.
You look disgusting with potential.
When I'm in.
Like this kid can
like
turn
if he
it
lost
around.
Like another yeah. 40, he would look great. But like in those moments when I was at my thinnest, I still felt like I was fat. And then when I would look in the mirror, I still looked like I was fat to me. It's but tough. When I look back, I'm like, holy shit. I was skinny as fuck.
Yeah, it's tough because the one, all right, the one thing is that I didn't really associate dieting with dieting. Like, I need to lose weight. What I associated dieting with was like going to the gym,
exercise,
and lifting weights. Lifting weights, actually, it's been in my fucking bone. Like, I was lifting weights at like 13.
Oh, really?
12, 13 years. I'm not even kidding. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like the thing to do. There was people who had their garages open, and I was such a tight knit neighborhood that I was able just to. Kind of, you would hear them bumping the music, the garage yeah. open, and all the homies be chilling in the.
So it was the thing to do.
It honestly was the thing to do. Mm-hmm. Like, it was to, like, all right, it was everyone want to see how much they can curl and how much they can bench. It was nothing about, oh, my calves, my fucking quads. No. It was just bench.
Your glamour muscles.
It was all glam for sure. So, like, you know, I was definitely one of the guys who could bench press a lot.
Yeah.
I couldn't curl that. I was like kind of all right with curling. But it was so that when I was like, oh, I need to lose weight, it was like, I need to hit the gym. It wasn't like,
I
need to watch what I'm eating. It's like, you need to move.
Okay. So was the thought to lose weight, or was it to be like, I want to get fit?
No, it was to lose weight. Okay. It was, but the thing is, I didn't like, you know, there was a few times, but it was like almost, it sounds funny, but I've in my head, the way I associated it, even though I was you could say technically dieting, quote unquote, I really saw it as like you know, when you're cutting weight to get into football, or you're cutting weight to be
so in you
wrestling.
Thought of it as more like working out.
I don't know, as much as
I need to just lose weight to get skinny.
Yeah, so then
I want to work.
I do specifically remember.
And when was this?
This is high school. This is like late high school, like junior, senior, like probably maybe sophomore. So all the high school years basically, and. And I was losing weight. And I remember me and my friend, my neighbor, we wanted to go on this kind of like this fitness thing where I was jogging and he was working out. And he's like, dude, he had a car. And he's like, hey, let's go to the fucking gym. I'm like, oh, shit. So it was the first time we'd go and we'd just fucking sit in the sauna. And we were just trip out because I never really experienced saunas and I never experienced dudes. Yeah.
So it's like, it's just all these naked dudes. This
dude,
is
what's
amazing.
Up? What's up? But
only $20 a month. I can watch all these dudes.
Yeah, dude. Shit, I should be paying them. Oh wait, I am. So it was kind of one of those experiences that like I didn't associate it with like it was something negative. It was just like always a positive, and I have.
Yeah. Okay.
I see myself because just I had that confidence in myself when I was younger, where. Like, I always knew I could turn it around because I've done it. You know what I mean? I was you know, you still look good. You still.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I kind of felt that way for a long time. And honestly, I'm not going to front. I want to say probably till like my late 20s, I really didn't think like dieting, like that
you
was.
Never the, thought, I never, just need to lose weight because it's bad for me.
No. I never went on yo-yo diets.
Oh, you never did?
I never did that. So it was either I when I was younger, I would say probably like maybe 22, 23, I read a book called, You. It's called Y-O-U, You. Mm-hmm. A guide to your life. Or so it was by Dr. Oz. When Dr. Oz was barely coming
before,
on the scene.
Yeah.
He was barely coming on the scene. He just did you. It's like a fitness manual or you, an owner's manual. You, an owner's manual. So I had that book and I was reading it. I just broke up with this one girl who moved back to New York. And I was fucking heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just got in a car accident too. Lost my car.
Dang.
And I was, you know what? There was a fucking 24-hour fitness up the street from my house.
It changed my life.
And I started drinking green juices, but the wrong green juices. Uh-huh. Basically, the ones with a bunch of sugar in it. Yeah. But that's basically what I was eating because I was just so heartbroken and depressed from my everything else. That like it was just, and I got really into the book. I read the whole fucking book, and I'm like, oh my god, this is how to do it. Mm-hmm. I bought a juicer. I started juicing. So it was never really like it didn't really like be like, oh, I need to lose weight, so I'm going on the fucking South Beach diet or whatever. I'm going on Atkins or I'm doing – it never really occurred to me that I was even remotely involved in that same category until recently, till like the last like if 6 or 7 years.
If you didn't think you were in that category, what category did you think you were in?
I just didn't –
You were just like trying to be healthier?
I just
– Or you just knew this was going to be better for you. I just want to improve my life.
Yeah, it wasn't really about dropping the weight or like
– It wasn't like, oh, I want to look better.
I was never scale-centric where I was just like, oh, fuck, I lost a half a pound. I fucking worked all weekend. I never really used a scale, mainly because I couldn't afford one. But I never really used a scale like that.
Uh-huh.
I never really did that. And so to answer your question, when I first started, I didn't realize – Actually, to this day, I would say probably like since we started doing, I'm not even kidding, like recently, like I was like 2 or 3, 4 years is when I started realizing, oh my God, I'm that fucking yo-yo dieting motherfucker. Just recently, not like saying, oh, my whole life I've been that way. I've been the dude to backslide. So I finally started taking control.
Same.
I started taking control of my diet. In my exercising when I started going to CrossFit in 2014.
Yeah.
This was, 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing the stairs. I was getting healthy. I was feeling good. And that moment for me was kind of like, I never really experienced or thought of myself as this yo-yo dieter. I just kind of been consistently fluctuating between 10, 15, 20 pounds throughout my whole life. Okay. I felt. Whether it was true or not, I would know because I didn't have a scale. Okay. So you know what I mean?
Felt it was 15 to 20.
Well, dude, I had a juicer when I was 20 fucking 3 years old. And I've been basically juicing throughout my whole 20s. Like if I knew something was wrong, I'd juice. If I felt something was, I just juiced. It was just really weird to say that. But
just
I mean,
felt like it was
I had the Jack LaLanne juicer I got. And I had the little booklet with the recipes. And I would just go, oh my God, this tastes amazing. Like I feel... You know what I mean? And actually, now that I think about it, the moment I stopped incorporating fresh juices is when my health started to decline.
Mm.
Now that I just came over that right now, I think that's what I need to do.
Go buy a juicer again.
I have a juicer. It's just start that, using it. Well, you know, yeah. So I think because I started exercising, started doing like these Santa Monica stairs, which are pretty fucking brutal, you know. And I was getting better and better. And I started incorporating and I started doing podcasts with health and fitness guys. And they're like, we can help you. And So I thought that I kind of escaped that. I was like, dude, I did never yo-yo dieted. I'm going to take control of my health and I'm all going to be fucking. I thought as soon as I do CrossFit, just like thinking like I was fucking 20 and back in high school with my friend going to the gym. I was like, dude, I'm going to get fucking shredded. I'm going to get fucking shredded. And, you know, they're like, oh, it costs a lot of money. I'm like, fuck. But I'm like, I don't know if I could do that. But the
so many homie hookups along the way.
So there's some homie hookups. But for the most part, I was still dropping a few $100 a month on a gym membership. Okay. You know what I mean? But it hurt my wallet so bad that I'm like, I'm going every single day that I'm allowed to go with this membership. So you can only do 5 days a week. I'm like, then I'm going to be here five days a week.
Oh, shit.
And I fucking murdered every single thing, but I didn't lose weight. As a matter of fact.
The whole time you were doing CrossFit, you didn't lose weight.
I did not lose weight.
What do you think that was about?
My body composition was changing. I was gaining muscle.
Okay, so, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then also I was like, I thought that I can... I was eating clean, but I was eating more because I thought I earned it, and that's not how it kind of worked. You know what I mean? So my body
when
just
you say you're eating clean. Were you eating? What were you eating?
Like in the morning, I would have bacon and eggs in the morning.
Okay.
It would be like the organic, like sugar free bacon, you know, with eggs, like
almost like a paleo. Almost.
Yeah, and then for lunch I'd have like a fucking fat salad with like and then I'd have like
really. So you're eating like that. Working out like crazy, but you didn't lose a lot of weight.
Well,
but did you lose any inches?
You know, I just remember just being able to like fuck longer, like just being real. That was the biggest thing, dude. Is that like I was definitely a machine, dude. It was awesome. Like, that was one of the things I do remember. But I only did it for a year.
Yes.
Because I told them I signed a year commitment with them and I didn't want to break the contract. I mean, even though I could have, but I just wanted to prove it to myself. Mm-hmm. And I go, you know what? I think I got this now.
Oh, I can do this by myself.
Cut to this is 26. this was probably 2016, yeah. 2015. Like, and then I kind of was like, guys, like, the membership's up. I'm going to see if I could get this on my own. I'll keep this up. Absolutely did not keep it up. Then I was like, fuck. And then early 2016, I signed up with Deuce Gym. So the first one was CrossFit Los Angeles, and then another one is Deuce Gym. And I started doing that in 2016. Mm-hmm. And I just, in the middle of it, I was like, I'm going to cancel my membership. You know, I just didn't feel the same. It felt weird because they had a different idea of fitness than I was used to. CrossFit was...
You like CrossFit LA.
I like CrossFit LA. It was really... I mean, it's nothing against what they do.
You were just used to the other one.
I was very used to it. I had fucking people there who knew me and mm-hmm. fucking, you know what I mean? Who were...
You had everyone clapping for you and shit. Dude,
it was insane. I mean, like, and I do believe, I honestly, and maybe it might be delusion, that I can get there again. But the thing is that no matter what, I had to fucking really conquer the reason. And even doing the weight loss challenge a few years back yeah. with it, I got really into it, and it was like, oh yeah, you know what I mean? And
you lost mad weight.
I did lose mad weight, you know what I mean? And
like 60 pounds, 40 pounds?
It was like 50.
Yeah.
50 and change. And in the span of what, like 8 weeks or how much was six?
Yeah, it was a couple months.
It was like, I don't know. So the fact of the matter is that I needed to really conquer what the fuck is at the root of it, because no matter what I do, it's just going to be I'm still going to go back.
So what do you think that is?
So a lot of many things. Like I said, like I asked what's your earliest memory, right, uh-huh. of like food, and why do you feel like you need to bust your gut every time you eat?
I like to bust my gut, then bust my nut. For real.
Wait, it should be the other. No,
that's the thing right there.
Yeah.
Nice and full. And
I don't know.
Nice and empty.
I definitely feel sorry for your imaginary. Jesus Christ. I can only imagine you're huffing and puffing.
A buffalo. See, now what you're talking about, you're yo-yoing. Now, my yo-yoing is a little bit more extreme than that, because, like I said, I was 230, I think, and then down to 180. And then I got up to, like, 230 again, and then down to 200. And then I did 255 at one point, I don't remember when, and got down to 200. So I'm ranging from – I'm doing more extreme yo-yoing, because I am going, like, up and down, like, 50 pounds, 40 pounds. Like, and I've done that maybe 3 or 4 times in my life. I mean, in my 20s.
Right.
So I don't know. And they say that's bad.
Okay.
Yeah. They say it's bad. I don't know. But it's probably better than being fat that whole time.
No.
Maybe.
I try not to be jaded. And the fact is that we always kind of go back and forth about, like, we're pumped about it, and then we lose interest. And then we're pumped about it, and then we lose interest. And it's just like, I didn't experience that till in my 30s. And like, I'll say, like, after 2014, after 2015, when I was done with my membership at CrossFit LA, then all of 15 was kind of weird. I was still kind of healthy. I was still doing some stuff, but it was like getting less and less. Like, I was like, I kept to my word for the most part when I got off the gym membership. Mm-hmm. But then slowly I was like, nah, I'll just do 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. You know what? Just 2 times a week, I should be good. I should watch my calories and just do one day. And then all of a sudden,
it's you're just not doing anything. Yeah.
And so then when it came to that point.
And that's exactly when people, especially people who have been thin, it's normal for people to gain weight when they turn like 20. Yeah. You know, they start gaining weight. Okay. And it's not even that big of a deal, because they've already, a lot of them will already be married. Some of them will already be married. Some of them will be in long-term relationships.
Sure.
And, you know, what's the big deal about being a little overweight when you're together with somebody?
Sure,
now,
sure.
The people that are in the category of being heavy when they were young, that's a different story.
Right. It is tough.
I forgot what my point was. What were you saying right before that?
I didn't experience yo-yoing until my 30s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you yo-yoed all in your 20s.
Yeah, and all in my 20s. Oh, yeah, because they don't know. Oh, that's what I was talking about, addiction. Because it is an addiction, and I think people that gain weight later on in life, they're like, well, why don't you just not do that anymore? You know what I mean? And it's like, well, it's the same thing for people with any type of addiction. Why do people go back and slip up and start doing drugs again?
It's too lit.
I mean, it's like, it literally is an addiction, because if it wasn't, you would just be able to eat healthy food and then you're good. It's different than just self-control.
So the thing is, it takes you have to be aware of what's happening. So we're gonna go into this. Fuck it. All right. So one of the things is that you have to be aware of what you're doing and what you're eating and why you're eating it. Okay. And also, food is nothing. Just recently, like I talked about in the previous episode, of how the kind of food that we're eating is like pornographic, where it's like to the extreme, because food is just is nothing but nourishment and fuel for your body, period.
And you said, well, there was that term, hyper palatability.
Yeah.
And they say that with like chips, you can never get full on them. You could just continually eat them.
So let me like also break this down to like the fundamental nature. So when when people want to find water, right? When like we're talking indigenous people in Africa, in the desert, there's obviously hidden pockets of water that people know about. I saw this one YouTube video, pretty lit. I don't know where I found it. I was just in a wormhole one day in a YouTube dive. And so what happens is that they these indigenous people in Africa, they trap this monkey. Mm-hmm. A little small, little, you know, like the one from Friends monkey, you know what I mean? So they trap them. And they trap him in some way, and they feed him a big block of salt. The thing is that when the fucking monkey's gonna lick the salt and go, oh my God, this is fucking, and just eat the fuck out of the salt. But when the whole block of salt is gone, guess what? They're mad fucking dehydrated.
Yes.
Right? So they pull up the fucking, the and capture fucking cage or whatever, and then they run to the nearest fucking reservoir because they know, and then guess what? The indigenous people follow them. So the thing is that the monkey itself...
Interesting. That's how they find the water. That's dope.
So the thing is that the monkey cannot control himself when it comes to salt. And it's just nothing more than a block of salt.
That's gonna block us all.
So I mean, if you think about just that example, that like the whole thing is you're betting on the monkey's gonna finish the salt very quickly and then get super dehydrated immediately. And
want to thirst,
and they're gonna want to fucking drink. So then when they release them out of the cage,
it's like fucking clockwork.
Yes, but the thing is that you're betting on something that, well, what if the monkey doesn't finish? I go, no, the monkey always finishes the fucking the salt block. Yeah. So that being said, we eat that stuff, right? Salt.
On everything. If food doesn't even taste good.
It does not taste good. So all of a sudden now food is no longer just a fuel for our bodies. Food is a pleasure now. Mm-hmm. All right, now we're getting to. I totally agree with you, and it's like when I say it's pornographic, I don't mean like literally someone's jacking up in your fucking food, but what I am saying,
that'd be okay too.
A little more salt on there, but you know, but what I am saying is that it's not really meant to basically meant to be used the way we're using it.
Mm-hmm. Food. It's more. It's supposed to be sustenance.
Complete sustenance and complete fucking energy for your body. That's what it should be.
We
turned it into something else.
Something fucking.
And then people.
Dangerous. Greater.
Exactly. Now, some people have a better control over it, or maybe the people haven't had early childhood experiences.
Exactly. That's what I was going to ask you. Why some people are not affected by that? Well, and some of it has to be just flat out genetics.
So I couldn't.
They don't get fat as easily.
Yeah.
Because I know people in high school that had the opposite problem than I did. They couldn't gain weight. I had a few friends that were so skinny, they could not gain weight. And obviously, their problem is much better. But to them, it was probably I know that that bothered both of them really bad.
Yeah.
That they were so skinny. But fuck them. I'd rather.
So,
I wish I had that problem.
So, yeah, I mean, I definitely feel that 100% about having that issue. If you didn't have something that triggered that, and all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, I'm associating this great flavor, I'm associating this great taste, and me feeling like this. So it's basically us, like, The French people kind of have it down where they're like, oh, they'll have a croissant, but they won't eat the whole thing. Like, I never really understood. I had an old friend of mine that I went to the gym with when we were in high school, and he would eat, like, we would go to Carl's Jr., for example, when we were younger. Mm-hmm. And that back then, when getting out of the house was super lit.
It was like, fun just to go.
Dude, he'd eat, like, half his burger and then leave his fries and then not drink his whole soda. And I was just like,
mind boggling.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, look, that kind of fucking attitude is something that I just could not fathom. I just couldn't. But he was just like, I'm good.
So if anything, he had a healthy relationship with food. And I don't understand it. I don't understand how it's possible.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's basically
what how often do you go to a restaurant, fast food, mm-hmm. order something and not finish it? Because I could tell you with me,
it's very rare. I mean, it's like
extremely rare.
Yeah. But yeah, so it is rare. So all that being said, those are the problems that stem. It's like, it's super lit. You associate a fucking, a memory to like feeling that full. And then it repeats because you're like, oh, I need food to eat. I need food to live. I mean, I need food to nourish. And it's everywhere. You're not like,
just that. You're having more good experiences every time you fucking go and have a bomb ass meal.
Yeah.
You're like, holy shit, that was amazing.
Yeah, no, I agree. So that's basically kind of my deal. That's basically my deal with it, is that I'm kind of coming to terms currently right now with
the underlying issues.
The issues is like, look, I told myself two things. One of them is don't ever not get excited about starting something new. Cause like, you don't be like, oh, I'm just going to fucking fail again. Or just,
oh yeah.
Cause it's like, that is poison. Like, that's, you don't, that basically saying you're giving up, you're not excited mm-hmm. about life, you're not excited about things. So I don't like that. So I'm always going to get excited every time I get pumped and there's momentum. Like, I'm always going to be like, dude, this is, makes me feel good. And you're mm-hmm. like, dude, I heard you say that like 6 months ago. I go, I don't give a fuck.
Yes.
I'm on this right now and I don't give a shit. So that's basically my one of my rules. And second rule is that you really got to fucking find the root of why you're doing it. You have these brain patterns in your head that are already like, that already created a path. They have like, it's basically your brain is like a big fucking forest. And the more you walk through that path, you start fucking creating like all the leaves are dead and all the fucking plants that are dead because you keep walking through
drilling that fucking,
cause you're going through that path. So if you keep going to that well, for example, it's hard to go, well, I'm going to take this path. And you're like, but dude, this path is fucking.
Speaking of that, Tony Robbins talked about that.
Yeah.
What he said he would do when he was trying to lose weight, he would get his plate of food, eat some of it, and then continually push the food away from him and try to get satisfaction out of that. And he just did it all the time. He's basically trying to build a new path. So he's constantly pushing food away from him and getting satisfaction out of it. And that was his way of building that new path.
It takes a lot of willpower. It takes a lot of energy to
create. And rewiring that. Your brain.
Exactly, dude. It's not easy.
Do you feel like you found the root of that problem? Or is the root of that problem just accepting that you have that problem?
Well, it's going to take extreme focus. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be like, well, I think I got it now. I think I could relax because I've already proved myself. That's fucked. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I'm like, I think I can kind of take my foot off the gas pedal and just kind of live a normal life.
And that's where I think of it like an addiction. People that have an addiction, they can't dabble. They can't go back and like, I'll just go dabble in fucking alcohol. Exactly. They can't have it.
Yeah. You realize that, right?
Because if you have it, you're fucked. You go back. And I think that's the same thing with food, because that's how all my diets have ended. I'm like, I've been good. Let me have something. And I remember the first time I did low carb, I lost a lot of weight. I was like, I've been good. Let me have some pizza. And it's exactly the way that the people describe it with alcoholics or anything like that.
Just one drink.
You have one and then you start have two, then it's more and with more. It is literally the exact same experience. When I hear them discuss that, it's the exact same feeling of how it goes down with food.
Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's basically.
So it's almost like you have to choose not to have this shit ever again. Or develop some willpower that you don't have right now.
Well, that's why it takes practice, right? And the thing is, you got to find the root of every. You got to find the root of it, and that's the hardest part. Is like you got to find the culprit. Like, why am I acting like this? Why am I? And then you start doing research, and you can go down the rabbit hole and a wormhole of why of it. But it, I mean, people can you can say whatever you want, like as far as like, oh, I'm gonna try this diet or this worked for this person and that person. But the bottom line is, the culprit is sugar for me, and it's different for everybody. Mm-hmm. But sugar is that's what it is for me. So that's the guy. I think we talked about this prior. Once I'm on it, I'm on it, dude. And there's no the trigger is just fucking pulled, and that's just it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm at this point where I'm looking to try to like.
I think if you do it again, you have to think of it as an addiction and be like, I just can't have that. I can't
and you're like thinking, oh, but everyone's like, oh, is that sustainable? Is that fucking whatever? And I'm like, well, I'm not really. I mean,
the fucked up thing is that it's in so much stuff. That's the fucked up part.
In the stuff that I used to like. But I mean, the thing is you have to really be conscious and aware of
it. The only thing it's not in is fucking meat, vegetables, you know, healthy stuff.
Well, I mean, so then it just comes down to like you making that choice and like we talked about earlier, you know, you talked about how like you create a new pathway, you know, you're creating a new, like you really got to focus and understand that it's you have to snap yourself out of that hypnosis, dude, because that brain pattern, you keep repeating it, you keep repeating it over and over again, and you got to snap yourself out of that, and it's going to take a lot of awareness. You know, it really does, dude. It takes a lot of awareness to snap yourself out. And then when you feel like the cloud has been lifted a little bit, when you're like, oh, man, maybe like 3 or 4 weeks into something. And I don't really consider them diets because I've never really done any type of diet. I got to be perfectly honest, as far as like the South Beach diet or the Atkins diet. I've never done any like that. It's always been you got to eat fucking vegetables and you got to fucking cut out any of the white stuff. You know what I mean? Like cocaine and
white ain't right.
You know, now we're talking about rice, bread, sugars, basically all that stuff. So I mean, you knew that fundamentally, and it's not like, oh, well, I'll just have like a Diet Coke instead of a Coke. I mean, yeah, I get it. Like, you know, but for me, it's like you said before.
For you, that triggers the same feeling.
It triggers. It does. So it's kind of playing in the same field
for me. It's my like fucking cheat. It's my cheat code.
No, I know. And
So that's the other thing. I've been able to do this several times. Like I said, I've been able to lose like 40 pounds, 50 pounds several times.
Yeah.
So the difference is going to be sticking to it and actually maybe getting lower, because I don't think I ever got to what my probably healthiest lowest weight would be. I got down to 190, but I really believe it should be probably around 180 or maybe even below. I don't know, because I've talked to my dad. He was 6 foot. And he said when he was at his skinniest, he was like 140 or something crazy like that, which is probably too light for me. I think I just might have a bigger build. So it's probably, honestly, 180 is probably pretty damn good.
Yeah, I think anything, I'm not, in general.
You're not concerned about numbers.
I'm really not. That's not what I care about at heart. That's the God's honest truth. I want to keep it that way because it seems a little bit more sustainable for me to not go, oh, I'm fixated on a number. I do want to get to the root of it. And when I mean to the root of it, there's a few things.
What's your driving motivation though? Is it to lose weight?
To not die.
To look better? It's to be healthier.
It's basically to be healthier and to. And it's not it, yes
look
losing
better
weight,
is a losing is a benefit.
Weight losing weight is a byproduct,
yes,
so of healthiness. So what I mean by healthy is that like I'm trying to run my own business and I'm trying to do all this stuff, and the amount of clarity that I've experienced while on strict programs has been so phenomenal that you think you would never go back, because you know, because you'd be like, man, dude, I can't tell you how many times that I would be working like 15, 16 hours and not even feel fatigued, and then actually go to bed and then feel fucking great waking up. Like, your body is just so in tune, because there's no sugar in your system to cloud it. And when sugar's in my system, I act like a junkie, dude. Like, I need more. And then guess what? If I don't have it, I get headaches, just like a fucking junkie would. If he didn't have heroin, he'd have like fucking stomach aches and start going through withdrawals and shakes. And that's basically what's happened. The fact that is actually something that I was gonna touch on it, and I will speak on it now because I almost lost it. But like, people are not usually aware of paying attention to their body signs. Mm-hmm. And what I'm saying is that you ever eat something and then all of a sudden you have a runny nose, or you sneeze and you cough and you're like, those are signs that you're poisoning your fucking self, but we choose not to fucking listen. And you ever notice that you're thinking about food all the fucking time, except for when you're eating fucking food?
Yeah, because then you're distracted by other shit.
Or you're just fucking eating shit. So it's like if you think about that, that is pretty fucking real, in my opinion, that you're not really conscious while you're eating.
Depends. I'd say the majority of the time I would agree, but there's often time where like I'm eating some food and I'm holy shit.
This is lit. Fuck.
Yeah, and enjoying it.
I
would say on a daily basis, yeah, I'm listening to something, something else.
But you're thinking about, I'm gonna have for lunch, what am I gonna do? Then when you're there, but I'm saying is you're not paying attention to how your body's reacting to that food and how your whole system's really kind of it's very serious for me, dude. Like, because I obviously thought about all this stuff. So it's like people who, my friend, for example, who didn't eat all his stuff when we were younger, all his food, he'd take a bite, put it down, chew, fucking however many times, grab one fry, eat a fucking fry, drink a little bit of fucking soda, and he'd pick his burger back up, take another bite. As opposed to me, I'd have the fucking burger in my hand and pick up
fries with the
down,
other hand,
and then have the fries and you know what I mean. It's just like
eating five at once.
So yeah, you grab a handload of fries with the other hand, and then you grab the soda when you're not taking a bite.
Sounds good.
I know. I know. So, you know, being aware of shit like that is some next level shit, because you like we're basically Pavlov's dog, you know what I mean? We're here, the path has already been created, so then that the moment we get that what we need and that satisfaction, that fucking fix, the moment that does happen, it's like our brains just shut off. We're like, we're there because guess what, I've done this a bajillion times and I already know how this is gonna go. And so you kind of go into that hypnosis, you know, you go into that fucking where you're not aware of what's happening to you, or to your body. Like notice if any of you fat mofos out there,
I think what I was gonna say is people could relate to this episode, because I'm pretty sure, just guessing, everyone who's in America listening to this show would probably feels like they could lose some weight. And people around in the other countries, some of them too. I know, Gavin, you're skinny as fuck, so fuck you. No.
But you know, there's always stuff you can improve on. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I'm sure
there's always, like, no matter how healthy
skinny you are, you could be unhealthy.
Yeah. One last thing I'll say that I find that what the main root is, and it's a tough one, and it's hard to say, but it comes down to self-love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, caring about yourself so much that you're down to fucking make sacrifices and focus to not get put yourself in that situation. Now, when I was doing CrossFit, I just realized, like, because it's a very intense kind of rigorous exercise routine. And I was not doing it because I loved myself. I was doing it because I hated myself.
Same.
It was just like, fuck you, body. Fuck you. I was just basically dragging myself through the mud because I was just like, this is what you deserve, motherfucker. Like, you. And as you're kind of going through the shit during these crazy ass workouts, I'm telling myself some crazy shit in my own head. So then, that's not going to be sustainable.
Maybe that's why my diets haven't worked, because I'm always doing it because, like, oh God, you're so disgusting. You need to fucking lose weight.
It's true. And you know, when at the end of the day, a few things I'll leave on this. People don't need alcohol to live.
Yeah.
They don't.
No.
They don't need fucking cocaine to, like, actually live life. Yeah. Heroin, any other addiction, but a food addiction. You need food to live. Mm-hmm. And you get, and there's a fucking drug pusher on every corner. Mm-hmm. You pass by a fucking McDonald's. You pass by a Burger King. You pass by a sign. You pass by a bus fucking, you know, a bus fucking ad. Mm-hmm. You fucking watch TV. You're on your fucking phone and it pops up.
You go to the grocery store at the end of every cashier. Candy.
And guess what? You can buy fucking two fucking, you know, double cheeseburgers for $3.
And they know that. I remember watching, I don't know, 2020 or some shit. And they're saying, well, the reason why this aisle of candy is so long is because you're going to say no, 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 no. And then you're going to get run out of self-control. And by the last one, you're going to say yes. And you buy the ones right by the cash register.
They're banking on your addictions.
They're banking on you can't have that much self-control. It's a limited quantity. And that's why you have to find some other way of doing it. The other thing is that I forgot what I was going to say. Fuck. But yeah.
Well, the willpower.
Oh, I was saying I get into that like you were saying, like, oh, attack it. Like you, every time you're going to get into it, be into it. And, you know, don't say, well, I failed the last time. So I've been like that my whole life. I'll get into something and I'll go really hard on that one thing for a long time and then eventually lose the motivation. And that's what's happened with diets. I'll go super hard and be really good and be successful at it. And then just slip back. So that's the struggle for me. Cause right now I do have that motivation right now.
Yeah.
And it's going well, and I'll probably be successful with it, but is it going to last?
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying about the consistent focus. So like the thing is that you can't
worry
about it. Yeah. You always have to be like aware and cognizant of like what the fuck mm-hmm. you're eating and what's happening. So that's and it sucks because you're like, oh, can I just be fucking myself or can I just be fucking have fun? And you're like, yeah, you can. But I mean, unfortunately, like, you know, after everyone's drinking that night, everyone's like, oh, let's go eat pizza or let's go get fucking food late night. And you got to either A, not participate in those kind of things, or B, just have the willpower to say no. You know what I mean?
Probably the biggest one. It's just, I mean, the easier one is fucking don't do that.
Just don't do it.
Don't do that. Or you have to be fucking crazy. And because people are going to be telling you, fucking, just eat this. Come on, man. Don't be a bitch. You know what I mean? Like, come on. And you have to be fucking strong, which I've always been pretty good at being like, nah, I'm good. Yeah. I've always been pretty good at that. But,
man, that's a funny
low carb.
It was a great episode.
I think it was. Yeah. We'll see. We'll continue the story. I'm at 126 now.
Dang.
See what it's at next week.
I haven't weighed myself yet, but like right now I'm in the process of, you know, getting enough sugar and
you're preparing for a fucking cleanse.
Well, you know, I had an opportunity where I ate so much in Texas that I was like, you know what? I'm going to just not eat for a little bit. Bang, 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 bang. So, yeah, I'm kind of at this point right now where I'm just like, okay, let me just chill. Let me put the brakes a little bit. And it takes, there's like a muscle. You have to exercise your willpower, dude. And in some weird fucking way to have the discipline to say no or to say like, I'm not going to eat. It feels uncomfortable. It's you have to get yourself in the mind state of that because, like I'm thinking that this is something that that obviously is important. Like I'm gonna die prematurely. I was thinking about that too. By the way, I always think like, how fucking whack would that be if I die because I'm addicted to food? Like, what a whack ass way to die, dude. You're like, yeah. Food's just too lit. It's gonna be on my tombstone. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Speaking of tombstone, make pizza, right?
Yeah, I got you. All that being said, dude. I mean, it's basically the willpower. It's you just fucking just saying, like, no, I care about myself so fucking much that I'm not going to put my body through that shit.
I think about it as an addiction and
if you don't
give in. Like, I remember my uncle, he was an alcoholic, and he told my dad this. He said, he's like, I can't drink alcohol if I never open the bottle. And it's such a weird way of thinking about it because you're like, well, just don't drink it. But no, I don't even, if I never open the bottle, I can't drink it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have to get like some crazy weird
you have to
way of thinking, be like, I can't gain weight again, or I can't go out and healthy again if I never fucking touch the pizza again.
See, I mean,
that's a depressing statement.
look, the thing is, it's
there's some things that you could just cut out. I would keep on talking about this. There's some things that I would be okay with. If I just cut out fries and never had a fry again, I think I would be okay with that.
Sure.
Now, do I have the self-control to do that? I could totally give up fries and be fine with
it. Sure, sure.
I could give up most fried food.
See, the thing is,
and be okay with
that. I think you're looking at it in a different way. It's not necessarily you're giving up certain things, right? But it's like you're trying to rebuild a palate. And that's the reason why I think fasting is amazing, because it resets your palate. Because you have this, you're already accustomed and used to eating high salts, high sugar foods that nothing's going to taste good until you get that fix. Mm. But like I'm telling you, bro, if you don't fucking eat for 3 days, 4 days, five, 6 days, seven days, and you fucking look at a fucking salad and you're like, homie, I'm going to fucking eat the fuck out of that salad.
Yeah.
Tomatoes and I'm not a big fan of tomatoes, but like tomato, you know what I mean? Like onions, I don't give a fuck. All of a sudden that shit tastes bomb, dude. Mm. That's the kind of shit that needs to happen. And you're going to fucking feel like shit at the beginning, because guess what? You're waning off a fucking drug. You're waning off heroin. The science is out. If you see, there's a few documentaries on the sugar addiction, the epidemic in America. And there's one called Fed Up, the sugar, whatever the fuck. Look it up on Netflix. Check it out.
Yeah.
But when you have sugar, it activates the same neurons and the same fucking part of the brain that cocaine does, the same part that heroin does. It's just that it got slipped in somehow, and we consume it. So it just the big sugar business is a big business to me.
It's you know what? Being fat is definitely an American thing. We fucking exported fatness to the world.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. But so yeah, you guys get it. Cheech, close the show out.
All right. You can follow us at ADHDcast on Instagram. You can send us an email at ADHDcast@gmail.com. You could join us on Patreon, patreon.com/ADHDcast. Is it ADHD?
ADHDcast.
And we are looking for one more blood brother. And yeah. Oh, shit. I forgot I was going to read the special thanks.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck. All right.
So appreciate you guys for all that stuff. But if you thought this was helpful and you thought that maybe a friend needs to hear this shit, share it with them. Because, you know, we share some real shit. I'm trying to share some real shit. So, I don't know. If you're not trying to get better, then what the fuck are we doing this shit for? So, so Cheech, when he finds that fucking shit, then
there is some more shit too.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff. We got passionate when it comes to food, because, you know, it is what it is. You found it?
Still loading. I think I got it, but there's another whole topic here about, like, there's so many little things that you could change in your life. Like, okay, what if you just, like, I've had this thought for a long time. I've never done it, but I've thought about this for a long time. What if you just choose to do the right thing, the good thing for you all the time?
That's the whole thing about being
focused. Can you imagine doing that? Yeah. Like, not just that, but like, I should make my bed.
Yeah.
I should do the dishes. I should have this place. It's perfect order. I should wash my car. I should have everything working on.
Yes.
It's such a simple thing. Isn't such a simple concept, but nobody does it. I would say most people don't do it, and I definitely don't do it.
Okay, we got to tackle that another.
That's
day.
A big one.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, it's not loading, but we'll figure it out next week.
We'll hit you guys
up. But we know Gavin, Andrew Pearson, and my boy that doesn't talk to us is our other blood brother. I can't think of his name right now, but I will find it and tell you guys. Thank you guys.
Yeah, next episode. All right, guys, later.